Grace and peace in the name of Jesus the Christ to all who gather in person and online through the ministry of Facebook Livestream. We welcome all of you to this service of worship originating from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and I'm joined today by our worship team, production staff, and special musicians, the Mayflower Chancel Choir and the Mayflower Bell Choir. Our liturgist today is Gail Sawyer. We welcome you unconditionally, whoever you are and wherever you are along this journey we call life. To our visitors today, your presence is your gift to us. To all of us, we do not pass offering plates during the service, but if you have come with your pledge or an offering to God, there are receptacles at each entrance to the sanctuary. Later in the service, we will all offer ourselves to God in a holy act of worship. When we pray together the Lord's Prayer, we use the terms debts and debtors. Roger Kennedy comes to us with an announcement, a very important announcement.
Next Saturday, next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. So next Saturday, we will be decorating the church for the holiday season, and especially the Advent season, so that we need many, many hands to help poof bows and fix wreaths and do a lot of decorating. And as they say, many hands make light work. Come at 10 o'clock next Saturday morning to help us decorate, and we'll probably even find a way to bring in something for lunch afterwards. We'll let the treasurer know that we might be spending a little money for pizza or something. Right. So anyhow, 10 o'clock next Saturday morning for Advent decorating. So thank you.
I've never been a part of a service where we poof bows, but we'll do that. Brr, it's cold outside, isn't it? I think the temperature dropped. I saw it at 14. Anyone see it lower than that? Pretty chilly night last night. We're having January and November, so see if you can pick out a phrase in the song the choir will sing today that's very apropos. And you can let us know afterwards. So, with this cold weather, we'd like to thank all of you for braving the elements as you have made your way to worship today, which we trust will be a great blessing to you. Today is the 24th Sunday after Pentecost and the last Sunday before Advent, as Roger has alluded to. In some congregations, this Sunday is known as Christ the King Sunday. Our tradition at Mayflower on the Sunday before Thanksgiving is a celebration called Harvest Sunday. And you can see the display that was lovingly placed here yesterday and purchased by our church. The chosen lectionary passage for today is Psalm 100, which is the daily reading for Thanksgiving Day. So when you came in, you noticed this display in the front of the sanctuary, and all of the items will be driven later today to the Lansing City Rescue Mission on Cedar Street, which houses women and children. Some of you brought items which will be included in that delivery. Some of you have placed it up here. Some of you have it in the pews, but at the appropriate time, I will call you forward to place those items in front of the communion table, if indeed you have. And if you haven't, that's all right, especially the visitors that wouldn't have had any idea about this. Now, if you did not bring grocery items but like to leave a financial donation, you may come forward when called and place your offering in the receptacle, which is on the front pew. Just make it to the Mayflower Church and make sure it is, if indeed it's a check, to make it for Harvest Sunday. But if you are a visitor, sit back, relax, as we all thank God for the ability to pass on our blessings to others. You may remain seated through the entire worship service. However, today the choir will be singing two very familiar hymns, and on one of those hymns you will be directed by our music director, Barb, to sing with us on a section of that last hymn we'll sing together. And again, Barb will clue you in. So, let's enjoy in a very lighthearted way a Mayflower Thanksgiving today, which we call a harvest of thanks. which is our theme for the day. Let us now worship God.
Good morning, Mayflower family and friends. Welcome to worship on this 24th Sunday after Pentecost, the last Sunday before Advent, and our celebration of Thanksgiving Sunday here at Mayflower Church. Psalm 100 is our text for the occasion, and it compels us to make joyful noises, to be glad in our worship, and to come before the Lord with singing. So, while the choir will sing, the congregation will be directed to join in on two of the best known and most beloved Thanksgiving hymns. And by the way, having fun in church is okay and a good thing. So if you have come with a thankful heart today, sit back, put a smile on your face, and enjoy a holiday worship experience, which is designed to be a little more lighthearted than usual. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, if for no other reason, we are thankful for the gift of life itself as we gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. While we express our heartfelt gratitude for our usual blessings of family, church, nation, and material blessings, we pause to dig a little deeper into our memories. We thank you for blessings which did not seem like blessings at the time. We think of lessons learned through hard work, the benefits received from persevering when we could have given up, and for hard times, which make the good times more cherished. Help us to make a memory today as we worship with joyful praise, sing with a little more gusto, and fellowship enthusiastically with others in the beloved community. Give us all a spirit of thanksgiving, even as we pray and assist those whose blessings are scarce. All this we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
In a little while, as we always do on Sunday morning, we will be praying together the Lord's Prayer. One of the phrases in that prayer, which we don't think much about, is the phrase, "Give us this day our daily bread." In relative prosperity, most of us don't have much visceral understanding of what it means to depend on God for our next meal. So today, we are given the opportunity to put ourselves in that position, at least in our minds, using our imaginations as we think about what it might be like to trust God for each and next meal. To put it plainly, we must realize that the faithfulness of God is often dependent on the faithfulness of God's people. So I want to say thank you, Mayflower, for your faithfulness to God as we now offer to God as a holy act of worship our time, our talents, our resources, and indeed our very selves. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we pause on this Thanksgiving Sunday to remember those who may not have all the same reasons to be thankful as most of us do. We think of those whose lives, businesses, and property have been destroyed or damaged by wind, flood, or fire. We think of those who have experienced loss very recently, some of whom are with us today. Others have suffered unspeakable tragedy, and still others have been denied opportunities of nurture and education and do not have the same mental resources to be productive in society. So help us as the beloved community to stand in for others, as we represent the faithfulness of God to them. Be with all those women and children at the Lansing City Rescue Mission who depend on our generosity. Help us to refrain from judgment for the beggar at the busy intersection or in the parking lot at Walmart or to the ones who knock at our church door or who call on the telephone. Sensitize us once again to human need and to the call of Jesus to give to anyone who asks. That's hard, Lord. So help us to err always on the side of compassion. Speaking of compassion, we extend our love and prayers to those within our circle of love and care. Among many others, we pray for Darlene, Leslie, Jane, Gordon, Bernie, James, Jerry Moore, Lionel, Irma, Don, Carl, Sheila, Mike, and others we mention now by first name. Lord, hear our prayers, even as the one we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is from Psalm 100. In one of the most beloved psalms, the even numbered 100, we are entreated to bless God with joyful noises, glad hearts, and singing as we return thanks to God who made us and who cares for us like a good shepherd. Hear now these glorious words. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Thanks be to God.
Good. There we go. Well, for those of you who are regular worshipers here, you may know that this is a little out of the normal here for me to be standing down here. Normally, I'm up there. And for, again, you visitors, even though I'm comfortable in front of people, most of you know that, almost every sermon is done from the pulpit. And I try to keep it off the page, as my mother used to say, but at the same time, I write them out because I don't always trust myself, but I'm going to have to trust myself today, and I trust that you will trust me. So here we go. A few weeks ago, I preached a message from the book of Job, and I told you that I read, in preparation for that sermon, the entire book of Job, and I actually had a couple of people in this congregation said they were inspired to read the book of Job as I had done. And I won't ask for a show of hands as how that is going. But my question today is, have you ever read the book of Psalms? All right, some of you have. And for a little interactive little quiz here, how many Psalms are there? 151. Does anyone have a Bible with an Apocrypha in it? There is another psalm that is added if you have a Bible with an Apocrypha. Anybody know what it is? It is the 151st psalm. Try that one on for size. So reading the psalms can be difficult. It's 150. How am I going to do that? Well, there is a way that it can be done. It can be done in 1 month if you would take the time, and I'll give you a little hint on it. Read 5 psalms a day. And you will run into a little difficulty when you come to the 119th psalm. It's like 170 verses or something in that one. But nonetheless, it's a good exercise. And I was encouraged as a child to read 5 psalms a day and 1 proverb per day. And that usually cycles in a month. Now, I have to tell you, I wasn't very good at it. But I can tell you, I also grew up in a tradition where scripture memory was very important. And later on, when I studied the Psalms in school and through my ministerial career, I discovered some things about the Psalms, and there are different types of Psalms. There are Psalms, I suppose, just thinking about it, the number one type of a Psalm is lament. The lament of God, where are you? That lament can be personal. It can also be community, a communal, when the community of faith in those in that setting, Israel, wondered where God was. Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous perish? Good questions. So there are Psalms of Lament. I did bring my cheat sheet because there's more than I can remember, so I'll just make sure I don't miss any. How about the Royal Psalms? And that was for welcoming the king. It was a monarchy. And how much are we familiar with that in recent days when we saw the new king of England? What do they, I guess they don't call it an installation. What's the word? Coronation. King Charles now. We had Queen Elizabeth for, goodness sake, 70 years. So that was a big deal. But there are royal psalms that welcome the entrance of the king. And then there are wisdom psalms, like Psalm 1. And the difficulty sometimes is the King James memory. Did anyone learn King James as a child, and then you have trouble getting out of that when we use more modern translations like the one we typically use here, the New Revised Standard, but there are other ones, including the New International Version, and then you can go to, I think there's something like 250 English translations of the Bible. I once had a book that had 26 translations in it, and every verse took the best five verses from 26 translations, and I don't know where that book ever went. I had it as a young pastor. But nonetheless, wisdom psalms. Blessed are those who walk, let me get this right. I got to go back in the King James. Somebody can quote it here. I'll go to the King James. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay? But the idea is, they don't do those things. They don't sit in the seat of the scoffers. They don't walk in the path of sinners, but they delight in the law of the Lord. And I will tell you that I have some memory and some favorite psalms, so that was certainly one of them. How about Psalm 8? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then skipping a couple verses, it's when I look into the heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and stars that you have established. What are human beings that are mindful of us? And then moving along to Psalm 19, some of you probably are better at this than I am. The one that's set to music, I'm trying to think who it was. I think it was Mendelssohn. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and day unto day utters speech, night unto night utters knowledge. Beautiful psalm, and then I'm going to skip the most favorite one because you know what that one is, but on the 27th psalm, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Let me keep going, my favorite psalms, and even though my mom is gone now, I'll just say thank you, Mom, for helping me with this. She did a great job. Psalm 46, a very present help in time of trouble. How's that one start out? Somebody tell me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. That's a psalm that I've relied on many times in my life when I was in trouble and I needed to call upon God. And then the 51st psalm that is often thought that it would be David's psalm after the horrible sins that he committed and said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Blot out my transgressions and cleanse me thoroughly from all my sin. That's a little bit of a Mark interpretation, but you get the point. And then moving on, one that I hardly ever perform a funeral or conduct a funeral without reading Psalm 90 about the brevity of life. And even in that psalm, it says if you make 70, that's good, and 80 by reason of strength. And these days, a lot of people make it past 80. I won't ask for a show of hands. But folks, we're all getting there, aren't we? And then 91, in the shadow of the Almighty. And skipping the one we had today, you run into Psalm 119, and do you know what? Does anybody know the verse number of the favorite verse that we memorize as children? Anybody know it? Psalm 119, what's the verse? The favorite one, anybody? Well, Deanne?
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Yes, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, by the way, for what it's worth. And I had it drilled into me as a kid. It's the 105th verse out of that long list in Psalm 19. One of my favorites, especially when I was kind of isolated from a lot of family and friends for years when I was tour guiding in Seattle up, and particularly up in Mount Rainier, was Psalm 121. I will look unto the hills from where my strength comes from, or whence cometh my strength, King James. Some of you will recognize that. My strength and help is the Lord. And then, well, there are others, but I think of Psalm 150 that is the end of the Psalms as we know them. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And that psalm, along with the one today, is a psalm where we use it for worship, and it's the Thanksgiving Day song. Some of you, most of you, hopefully all of you, will read as you are able with email the e-notes that come out every week, usually on Monday, and it has those readings, and the lectionary reading, Psalm 100, is appropriate for Thanksgiving Day, so we're taking that and using it for Thanksgiving Sunday today. And the idea is that we come into worship with joy in our hearts, and we do it with singing, we do it with gladness, and that's why the phrase was given to us by our liturgist today, that it's okay to have fun in church, it's okay to put a smile on your face. I think that if any visitors are here today, you'll find out very quickly, especially as we move to the Friendship Center, that smiling and laughter is a pretty big thing around here. If it wasn't, I don't think I could be a part of this congregation. It kind of rubs off. It goes both ways. I think I've learned a lot of laughter, and hopefully you've learned some laughter for me. But what I want to say is there's a reverse aspect to this. It was referred to earlier when I said, when I talked about the prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Most of us here, hopefully all of us, don't have that visceral feeling of what's going to happen in our next meal. Most of us know right now where we're going to eat for noon. Some of you may meet family and friends because we live at a distance. My wife and I often dine on Sunday afternoons with those that carry on some responsibilities here, and we go out and enjoy a lunch. Anybody ever been to Corey's? We have a little den down there that we like to eat Sunday afternoons, even peek and see how the Lions are doing. And so it goes. We know where our meals are coming from. And so we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. It doesn't have a lot of meaning for us. So, as I've made reference to already, we reverse that and think that the faithfulness of God is in some ways inexplicably dependent upon our faithfulness. We, all of us, run into people, whether, as I mentioned in my prayer, at the Walmart parking lot or choice intersections where people have their cardboard signs up. And there's not a one of us that don't have a little prejudicial thought sometimes. You've heard it. We've thought it. Some people have said it. You know, the person needs to get a job, or I'm sure that if I give that person $5, it's going to go for drugs. Well, I just want to share with you that our community meeting the other night, on Thursday night, hosted here once a month, there were just a handful of people here because of the inclement weather, and we talked about that very thing, the people that join in our community, our neighborhood meeting that meets here once a month, they're there typically because they care about the neighborhood. And we got to talking about places where we wish we could go in without encountering a beggar. And we all know that there are responsible things that businesses and we all can do to make ourselves and our community safer. But I have to tell you, and I revert to my mother's teaching, that everyone deserves the dignity of the fact that they were created by God. And if you caught it in the psalm today, and it will be sung in just a little bit, one of the reasons for a thankful heart is that we're alive today. just to be able to get up and get out of bed. Sometimes we don't realize, except to say, I'll tell you, at my age, I'm more thankful for that than ever before. Just to be able to get out of bed and feel like my knees are not going to give out and my plantar's fascia is not going to flare up for the day. So if for no other reason, however, we have taken the opportunity, especially for the visitors here today, as we do every Thanksgiving Sunday, and all of this lovely food will be headed to at the Lansing City Rescue Mission. We were privileged last week to have the director, Mark Chris, who's so much a friend and a partner with us. And some of us have been over at the Rescue Mission and seeing women and children, not that the men don't have an opportunity, because that's down on Michigan Avenue, a lot of great things going down there, but right around the corner here is where women and children that have no other place to go. And we have taken this opportunity today to bless others who might not have the same feeling as we do, to walk in and say, isn't God good? I never prepare a sermon, folks, on Sunday morning, whether it's written or just spoken like this, where I don't think about the idea that God is good, and we know God is good, but there might be people that walk into our service that might not have the same reasons we do to think that God is a good God. And yet, we have that fiduciary responsibility to make sure that as people encounter us, as people of faith, people that have made the decision to follow God, people who are followers of Christ, can find faithfulness and love and care and the generosity of God because of us. And so I do just want to say, I think this tradition has grown. We've had the recent visit with the director, Mark Chris, who does such a wonderful job. Many of you have donated privately to the rescue mission. So if you have, I think most people have put their bags up here, but if you have a bag with you in the, how many, show of hands, anybody carrying a bag with you? Well, okay, all right. So I'll join the party here. Deanne, if you could just play a little music and we'll ask anybody to come forward. I didn't give you a warning, did I? But she's pretty good about this. Watch what she comes up with here. Gil, do you want to bring it forward? Okay, all right. All right, there's more coming there. And as I said, we've all participated in some way. There's the receptacle right there. Thank you, Charles. See, I told her she could do it. And all right, go ahead. You get a round of applause. For any visitors, you've probably figured out that's my wife. And I have to say, and I've repeated this before, but somebody who was on the search committee 5.5 years ago when they hired me, when they called me up, I think it was Rilla that called me up, and I said to Rilla, because she was the lay leader at that time, can I bring my wife with me? And she said, absolutely.
Well, years later, somebody on that search committee said that was the smartest thing you ever did. Or, bring your wife with you to search. So, folks, I might not be here today if it wasn't for the fact that I brought my wife with me to the search committee meeting. All right, now it's going to be your turn a little bit, and this is where we get a little more interactive. I want us to just reach into memory, and this may or may not happen for you folks, except there are a couple of people that I know have stories. The reference was made in the earlier part of the service to Thanksgiving blessings that didn't seem like blessings at the time, but in the perspective of time have seemed a blessing kind of in disguise. And so again, two people are kind of lined up to share, but there may be some stories that you have. Maybe an unusual Thanksgiving, something that happened the usual. You know, we have our Thanksgiving meal. Many of us sit down with family, and we have our meal, and we go through the litany of blessings. Very important to thank God for our material blessings and for the blessings of family and church and community and nation, all those things we mention sometimes around or pray for around the Thanksgiving table. But is there anybody here that might have an unusual Thanksgiving memory that you'd feel comfortable with sharing with our entire church today? Anybody? Okay, all right. This is Ann McClellan here. Ann, tell us about your unusual Thanksgiving.
Okay. My son, Ken, was a teenager. We were having the whole family over, which is about 20 people, and he decided to play darts. And his dart landed in the table, in the sauce. So it was a little embarrassing.
Okay. Was it the cranberry sauce? Oh, my. A dart in the cranberry sauce. Well, that's a good one. I said this was going to be lighthearted. That's a good one. Anybody else have an unusual Thanksgiving memory? Okay. Lorraine. This is Lorraine Finneson.
Well, this is really a little strange. When I was 10 years old, on November 19th, I think it was, my grandmother suddenly passed away in West Virginia. And we went there for the service, which, believe it or not, was on Thanksgiving Day. That always has blown me away. But there we were, and it was cold and bitter. And I remember being at the cemetery, going up this hill to the gravesite, and it just was so bitter and rainy, and oh my gosh, it was just kind of a terrible memory. I have no idea whether we had any Thanksgiving dinner or not, but the thing I remember is just that service, and you know, she was just a wonderful woman. So I kind of look back on it as kind of a weird but cool experience in a way. It was just an odd thing that happened anyway.
Oh, those are the stories, Ann and Lorraine, that we're kind of looking for. One more out there before we go to the two that are already given prior notice. All right, Marion, hand this down to Marion.
I am grateful that I married an alcoholic because we both found the 12-step programs. He in AA and I in Al-Anon. He's been gone for 18 years now, and I have been in the program for 38 years. I was in Al-Anon before he started in AA, but it has been the blessing of the lives of both of us. It's just been marvelous. And for those of you who are familiar with the 12-step program, you know what I'm talking about. Thank you.
Thank you, Marion. Do you know what the word sanctuary means? It means safe place. This is a safe place to share these kinds of things in our lives. I've done some from the pulpit in my own journey, some of my painful experiences. So thank you for that, Marion. You and I have shared about that and some of the struggles in family, and we all have stories like that. So, Marion, beautiful. All right, I'm going to give the microphone to my wife.
My Mark asked me if I would share this unusual experience that happened to me in 1988. I was expecting a baby. We had three children, my late husband and I, and the problem occurred that I had placenta previa, and so I ended up going in the hospital the day before Thanksgiving, and they, or a couple days before, and they decided that they would need to give me a C-section because I was bleeding faster than they could put blood back into me. I came just minutes away from death before I got there in an ambulance. So I thank the Lord for that experience of saving my life. We did lose our little boy. He lived for 12 hours. His name was Gabriel Michael, because to us he was an angel. And on that Thanksgiving day, my husband, my late husband, and my three children came up to the hospital, and we ate hospital food in my room on Thanksgiving Day. But we were thankful, because your family means more to you when you lose someone. And we had lost a precious little one, but we were so grateful to God for what he had given to us. And I want to thank the Lord.
Thanks, Deanne. I guess my story will pale after that one. I should have had your gold last. But I have made reference to my grandfather, my preacher grandfather, who was kind of a Jekyll and Hyde kind of a guy. He was in a tradition and a time and a place where Jekyll and Hyde personalities were could be hidden a little more. But one of the things about my grandfather was he took a lot of pride in being a workaholic, and not always from a positive standpoint. So we, for years, our family went to Peoria, Illinois to visit. We lived in southern Michigan, south of Battle Creek, and we would drive down to Peoria every Christmas for a number of years. And it was also Thanksgiving, sometimes Thanksgiving, sometimes Christmas, and I suppose sometimes both. But my grandfather always had a work project that he was involved in. Now, I had all sisters, and I was the only boy. And when I was 13, 14, 15, 16, maybe 17 years old, my grandfather saw me as a rented mule. He was the kind of a person that had difficulty sitting around at Thanksgiving time or Christmas and just communing with everybody and drinking a cup of coffee or just enjoying that kind of a thing. So early, we'd usually get there on Wednesday night, and early Thanksgiving morning, my grandfather would come down about 6 o'clock in the morning. He said, "Get up, Mark boy, we're going out to chop wood." And he had discovered these farmers that had these groves way down out in the middle of nowhere, and he'd take his Oldsmobile. He didn't live in Lansing, but folks, he didn't think a car was a car unless it was an Oldsmobile. And he had the biggest rickety old trailer, and we took his steel chainsaw with a bar on it, but it just seemed like it went on forever, and he could work that chainsaw, and I learned how to do a chainsaw. And we work all day on Thanksgiving until Grandma had whoever else had the Thanksgiving meal prepared. And I remember sometimes just going down and dreading it, because I was, as my wife called it this morning, she said I was a sucker. And maybe I was, except to say, looking back, it's something I admired about my grandfather, that he did understand hard work, and he taught me, along with some others in my life, just the idea of perseverance and doing what you have to do, even on Thanksgiving Day. I remember on a New Year's Day when I wanted to watch the Rose Bowl, we were down, it was 10 degrees, and he decided that it was the coldest day of the season, and so we crawled in the crawl space under his house and put fiberglass wrap around all the pipes, you know, the vent pipes down there, and I just remember thinking, oh, who's winning the Rose Bowl? Probably Michigan was playing. And but looking back, just like you shared, Marian, it was a blessing. It was a blessing, some of those things that I learned and came up. And I will tell you that food, Thanksgiving food, and even New Year's Day goodies tasted a lot better after working down in the cold. And I just be able to get back into a warm house and know that we contribute a little bit to that warmth. So maybe this Thanksgiving, we would just all of us take a little more time to think through maybe a neighbor that's lonely, maybe someone that needs some kind of a donation, or as my mother would say, a smile and the dignity that God, as we heard in the psalm this morning, treats all of us as sheep in his pasture. And what a glorious thing it is to be thankful that God is the good shepherd, and we, not just a pastor, but we are shepherds that have others who are in our flock. And so maybe with a little added sensitivity and memories, we can make this Thanksgiving the best it can ever be. And I appreciate some in this congregation who have anonymously recognize some needs within our own congregation to make sure those needs are fulfilled. And I want to say thank you to all of you who are, as I've said many times, I've never been part of a congregation as a layperson or a pastor where there's been more of a spirit, a natural spirit of generosity and caring. And for those of you that are visitors today, this isn't the only thing that we have attempted to do for the rescue mission. Once a month, and now it looks like perhaps twice a month, we will we prepare a meal, donate the food and prepare it, and then the rescue van comes and we load it up and we give the cooks a break. They can clean their ovens and get things ready for you know, how busy those commercial ovens are over there at the rescue mission. So thank you, folks, as a pastor, and we all thank God for blessings, some of them very typical blessings, but as we've heard this morning, sometimes unusual blessings. And I just want to say again, you folks have been a very unusual blessing to me in the last 5.5 years. And as long as God gives me breath and you don't kick me out, I'll be here for quite a while yet. Okay. So with that, we will ask the at the proper time when Barb clues you in to sing a song that the tune is well known, and it's called The Old Hundredth, which means the 100th psalm. So be prepared as Barb clues you in and the chancel choir sings. And by the way, happy Thanksgiving.
In our worship today, you have blessed the Lord, and the Lord has blessed us. So now, as we leave, but not before we gather, go and bless others. In the name of Christ, amen.
Well, I want to say one word of thanks to someone who is sometimes invisible around here, but it's our custodian, Joe Pitchford. And Joe was in here last night at 11:30 cleaning up a mess that I guess I'd say it was necessary, but it was made by the pastor. And so Joe did some good work, and see him around here just doing all kinds of things. And he has such a willing heart. And so, Joe, wherever you're at, and also to the congregation, especially those that know Joe well, if you have an opportunity to just let Joe know, give him a word of blessing, how much we appreciate him, because our sanctuary, our facilities here are always clean, and if there's something that needs cleaning, he just always responds on the double, just lives a couple blocks from the church. That's handy for him and handy for us. So, when we gather, and we hope, unless you have an obligation that you have committed yourself to, and we understand that, we'd love to have you in the back. That's not right. We'd love to have you in the Friendship Center. I'll get that right. It's not the back. It is kind of the heart of so much of what we do in the Friendship Center, to enjoy some fellowship and some good food. And if you want to take a look at the mess that Joe cleaned up, it's the freshly painted kitchen. Take a peek in there. The colors have been drastically changed in there, so we'll enjoy some time together. Bless you, congregation.